Grace and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome on this Lord's Day. For those of you that are members here, it's good to be back with you. For those of you that are visiting with us today, it's a joy to be with you as well as we come together as God's people in this place. Let us share together now in our passing of the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbors.
Good morning. Everyone is in such a wonderful mood this morning. I think it is the sunshine and the blue skies and no rain. But anyway, it is wonderful to see all of you and a warm welcome to all of you, and especially to Reverend Frank Sherman. For those of you that either one couldn't remember his name or two had never met him, and his beautiful wife, Becky, where did she go? Here she is. Welcome. It's wonderful. I was trying to figure out how many years. 12. Wow. 12 years ago, they were our fabulous preacher and wife. And also a special welcome to our visitors, and thank you for joining us this morning. There are welcome packets for visitors if you would like to ask one of the ushers for information about our church, or you'll see a small packet hanging on the shepherd's crook in the narthex. I would ask that you sign the registration booklets. The sheets of pads of paper are in the red folders, and they are located at the end of each pew, and please pass it to others in your pew and then bringing it back to the center aisle. And also, if you have a prayer request this morning, please complete the card that is in that red folder. I would like to highlight just a few announcements. We have several, but they're all relatively self-explanatory. Just a reminder, dig deep today for children's collection. The monies will go to Project Happy Feet, and that's the Greensburg District in cooperation with Payless Shoes. They provide shoes for children in our area, and school is just around the corner, so this is a wonderful outreach for those children in our community that are unable to get a new pair of shoes for school. Also, a great big thank you from Ann and her committee for summer picnic baskets. The food was due today, and this is another outreach committee mission that we provide for families, truly local families, those families from the Sheridan Terrace Elementary School. And I saw that there was some fresh garden goodies, so that's always a delight to be able to give to others. And a very emphatic reminder about our church picnic that will be held on August 24th. Now, this is August already, so it's just a few weeks away. It will be at the Oak Hollow Park in the Pine Pavilion. Now, this is a Monday evening, and it has been working when the weather cooperates in the past that the Monday makes it very nice for a dinner time picnic and then service afterward. Now, there is a form in your bulletin today. Please complete that form so that the picnic committee can start doing some detailed plans with regard to food and other activities. So, again, please mark your calendar for the 24th of August. That's the church picnic, and complete the form in the bulletin. And just a reminder, please check that bulletin for other announcements that we have today. Thank you, Diane, for that beautiful prelude. I would now ask that you please stand and follow along in your bulletin under the heading of Call to Worship, reciting your response. We gather together, coming from near and far. We come expecting to experience the presence of the living Lord. Today, we will gather around the table of the Lord. And to be challenged to go forth to serve in the world. Please remain standing for our unison prayer printed in your bulletin. Please follow along together. As the world rushes by, O God, our desire is to slow down and find meaning in the life you have given us. In this age of information, help us to stop, listen, and empty ourselves to find in the common elements of bread and juice your message of love for us and for every human being. Create in us a quiet place that is not touched by a world that calls us to rush, hurry, consume, and satisfy all our wants. Walk with us that our desires may become your desires for us. Give us the strength in that quiet place that renews us to be the body of Christ in your world. We ask this in the name of Christ. Amen. And please remain standing for our hymn of praise number 732 in your red hymnal.
Have any other boys and girls that are here? Okay, it's just going to be you and me this morning, buddy, okay? All right. Oh, we have another one coming. Oh, okay, good morning. How are you? First of all, I need to introduce myself. I'm Pastor Frank. Pastor Dave is away this week, and he invited me to come back, and I get a chance to spend some time with you as well as with the adults, okay? I want to ask you a question this morning. What do you see? A sticker? Michael, is that what you see too? Do you see anything else?
No.
Nothing else? You don't see any... Does anybody else see anything? Someone, I heard someone over here. What else? The whiteboard. Yeah. All you saw was the little... No, I tricked you. Someone tricked me one time with that. That's the reason I wanted to do that this morning. Okay? Yeah, we focused on the little sticker, and we forgot about the whole great big white board, huh? Sometimes we see the small things, and we forget the big ones. We miss the point, don't we? Yeah. Well, that's like the scripture that Tracy is going to read here in a little while. And in that scripture, the people that come to Jesus miss the point too. They miss the big picture. All they see is the fact that Jesus can provide food for them because he fed the 5,000 just before that passage that she's going to read. 5,000 people with just a few loaves and a few fish. 5 loaves and 2 fish. Fed over 5,000 people. And all they're coming to him for is they want more food. And what they miss is the fact that that food was really not just to satisfy their body, but it was a way that God was showing through that miracle how much God loved them. And you know, sometimes we forget that. I'll bet there are times, because I've had that when I was growing up, times when I'd say to my mom or dad, boy, you know what I'd like to have? And whatever it might be, a new bicycle or some kind of a new toy, they'd say, well, I don't think this is the time for that. Or maybe you're not big enough for it yet. Or maybe you need to wait a little while to get that. And all I could see, just like that little orange dot, all I could see was what I wanted. Just like those people in the scripture, all they could see was what they wanted. And they missed what Jesus said. What you really need to remember is that it's not just what you want, but what God wants for you. And God wants the best for us, just like our parents when they say, maybe it's not the right time, maybe it's not the right thing. They do that not just because they don't want you to have it, but they do it because they love you and they know it's maybe not best at that point, but there's maybe another time for it. And that's the way God is with us. God wants the best for us, not just something we may want for right then, but something that will last forever and ever. And that which he has given to us is his love. His love is a love, Jesus says in this scripture that we're going to read, is for eternity. It's forever and ever and ever. And what a wonderful lesson that is, to know that God loves us that much, that everything he does because he loves us. You know what I'd like you to do for me this morning? We're going to pray together. Would you pray with me? I'll say a few words and then you repeat them. You do that? Okay, can we pray? Thank you, God, for loving us so much that you do what you know is best for us. Help us to understand that what you do, when you do it, is because you love us more than we could ever know. We thank you, God. And we do so in the name of Jesus. And we all say, Amen.
Before I knew your name, you knew my every breath. Before I found my way, you knew my every step. Before I knew everything that I need, you gave it all. That you should lay down your life for someone such as me. I'd spend a lifetime wondering why the beauty of heaven is here in my heart, and I know there can be no I felt his flame. light every part of me, and I would give everything that I am, for I have been saved. Oh, I have been saved. No greater love than this, that you should lay down and I know there can be no greater love. God's love, His perfect love for you and for me. The beauty of heaven is here in my heart, and I know there can be no greater love for someone such as me. No greater love than
Thank you, Deb. Last Sunday, Reverend Lake read and preached from the beginning of chapter 6 in the book of John, as we may recall. And the story was the crowd of 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that the Lord was able to provide. You will remember that everyone had eaten their fill, and there were 12 baskets of bread remaining. Today's reading continues with John in the same chapter, chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. We pick up the story after the feeding of the 5,000, and John records another of Jesus' miracles, and that is walking on water toward the disciples in the Sea of Galilee. But unlike the multiplying of the bread and fish, Jesus' next miracle is only seen by the disciples. So now hear these words from John. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus replies, but he does not answer their question. "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then the disciples said to him, "Well, what must we do to perform the works of God?" And Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them again, "Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." And they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." And Jesus turned and said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And here ends the reading from John. I would now ask that our ushers come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offering. Generous God, we rejoice in your wonderful powers. In Christ, you give us the true bread from heaven. You satisfy our spiritual hunger and thirst, filling our hearts with your abundant love. Help us to work not for perishable goods, but instead for the love that endures. May these offerings contribute to your nourishing work in the world. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Be seated. As we enter into this time of prayer, I invite you to turn to the back page of your bulletin and to those prayer concerns that are listed there. In addition to those, we have two others that have been shared with me. Please pray for Sue and Joel's 6-year-old grandniece suffering with viral meningitis. Please keep the little one in your prayers. And please pray for Jody, who has a cerebral hemorrhage. Family needs prayer also for strength and comfort at this time. So for these prayers of concern and the others that you see in the bulletin, and also prayers of joy, I wanted to take the privilege at this point of, first of all, saying it's a joy for Becky and I to be with you today. And we thank David, Pastor David, for inviting us to come back and be able to be here with you and share today. And a special thank you for Sarah and Wendell for opening their home to us and their gracious hospitality as we've had the time over the last day to be able to spend time with them. We thank them, and we thank you for this time to be together. We are going to take these moments now to be able to share together in this prayer hymn, which is number 620. As you do so, and as you complete that, and as we move into that pastoral prayer, I would ask that you open that bulletin again, if you've turned the pages, open it once again to that back page, and as we have the prayer together, place your hand upon those names, those that are in need of prayer for healing, those that are in need of God's presence and care for safety in one fashion or another, that we are touching them in the same way that God is reaching out and touching and bringing healing and wholeness to them as well. So if you'll turn now to hymn number 620, let us sing together, One Bread, One Body. Almighty God, as we come before you this day, we give you thanks for all of your many blessings. The great joys that we experience of your presence in our lives in so many ways. And yet in the midst of our joys, there are brothers and sisters who have concerns. And we lift them up before you now, asking for your continued presence and healing for them. You know their needs, even beyond these which we have raised before you this day, even before these which we place our hands upon on these bulletins, for we know it is you who place your hand upon them by your healing touch to bring wholeness of body, of mind, and spirit. So we pray, Almighty God, in these moments that as you bring your healing presence into our midst, that your healing presence and touch will be upon these that we offer before you, that all that we do, all that we say might give glory to your name. For we ask all of this and do so in the precious name of Christ. And all of God's people said, Amen. Now let's pray together the prayer that our Lord taught the disciples when he said, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
As I said earlier, it is a joy to be with you this morning, and it's great to be able to look out across the congregation and see so many familiar faces and some new faces that have come since we left here, yes, 12 years ago. In that course of those 12 years, many things have happened, and they've been many blessings, and we've been thankful for them. But as I reflect back upon that time just before we left to go to our next appointment, I can remember some of you folks coming up to me, and the question seemed to be almost the same. Aren't you going to miss preaching and teaching? And I have to admit that that was a question that ran through my head on more than one occasion as we prepared to leave and to go to the Connellsville district. But what also ran through my mind after a short period of time was the fact that I had overlooked the obvious. You see, whether it's one church or superintending 102 churches, preaching, teaching, counseling, and pastoral care are an integral part of ministry. It's a part of who we're called to be and what we're called to do. And I should have known that. I shouldn't have missed that point. See, in each of the stages of my professional life, I overlooked the obvious more than one time. When I left the Urban Renewal Agency back in the 70s as a director to attend seminary, I asked that question, what am I about to do? Then when, about the middle, the sixth year actually of my serving in St. Mary's, Pennsylvania, I had been offered the directorship of Methodist Union on Social Agencies in Pittsburgh. And the question arose again, what am I about to do? Then when the bishop came and asked if I would serve on the cabinet and it meant leaving you folks as a part of the life that we were sharing together, that question came up again, what am I about to do? What I missed the point on was the fact it wasn't what I was about to do, but what God was attempting to do in and through me. You see, it wasn't about me. It was about what God was wanting and needing to do and simply using me as an agent. That's what each of us are like. When I read this passage and was preparing for this message with us together this morning, the thing that struck me is because of my always, what about me? What about me? What about me? I could have been any one of those people in that crowd there in Capernaum that came rushing to find Jesus on the other side of the sea for more bread, to be satisfied for their own physical needs. What about me? They were probably saying. But you see, over and over again. Like me, they missed the point of what was happening in their very midst. They saw the small thing, but they missed the big picture. And as I read that passage, what struck me even more was the ways that they kept missing it made them so much like the comparable story in the Gospel of Luke in the beginning, where Jesus is out in the wilderness being tempted. Remember his three temptations? First of all, in the midst of that 40 days of fasting and praying, to understand what kind of Messiah God the Father had sent him to be. The first temptation, of course, in his hunger, was being told, there's the stones that look like bread. Turn them into bread and satisfy yourself. Was he to be simply a king who would satisfy the physical needs of the people? Caesar had done it. History records that Caesar, when they would go in and capture an area, he would have his subordinates go in and take bread into the people so that everyone would be fed and hopefully being able to build loyalty among them. Was that the kind of Messiah he was to be? Or when Satan takes him and says, look at all of the kingdoms of the world. Bow down, worship me, and I will give you all the kingdoms under your power. A political leader that could satisfy the needs of people politically and with power and strength. And then finally taking him up on the pinnacle in the temple in Jerusalem, saying, cast yourself down and see if the angels then will come and hold you up. Be a Messiah of miracles. People like that. When we look at this passage today, we see that each of those situations become almost the same thing as that gospel of Luke and the temptations. It's almost parallels to that. But Jesus has already determined the kind of path that God has called him to take. The Messiah that he's supposed to be, and it's not one of personal gain, but one for the world. And when they come to him and say to him, you know, where were you? We were with you yesterday. And as I appreciate Tracy going back over what had happened in the previous day, which was when he fed the 5,000. With that passage, it says they came to him after they were fed and said, come and become our king. Be a king that satisfies our needs. And over again in this passage, it's a matter of me. Their needs, their own personal needs, rather than what Jesus was attempting to show them. Tempting to show them that it's not about you, and he said, it's not even about me. The bread, the manna that you say Moses sent to you, God was the one who sent it, and he is the same one who is sending me to be with you. I am the true bread of heaven. Don't sell yourself short. Don't settle for less than the best. Recognize that God wants you to have the true bread that leads to eternal life. And they say, how do we get that? He says, work for the bread that leads to eternal life. And say, well, what must we do? What must we do? Hear it again. What must we do? Jesus said, it's not what you do. God's already done it. He has sent me. All you need to do is to believe that I am the one that God has sent, the true bread of heaven, which leads to eternal life. And they said, what must we do? Well, that's not uncommon for them. First of all, we have to realize, I'm sure Jesus had compassion upon these people that were living a hand-to-mouth existence. And they were willing to do anything to be able to know that they had food to eat on a regular basis. And these were people who were not only living under the Ten Commandments in the time of Moses, but by now the Jewish laws were 613 Jewish laws. So you can imagine them saying, what must we do? What's a couple more laws? We've got 613 already. We'll do whatever it takes. But Jesus says, no, no, that's not it. You missed the point. You're overlooking the obvious. What God is offering you is spiritual food that provides for your needs, that you can go not only back to your homes, but you can go into the world in a new way, having received the wholeness of God's Spirit in your life. That whole focus upon bread in this passage is marvelous, and that was the reason it fits so perfectly for Sunday of Communion here at the beginning of the month. Because for them, they, the group, that crowd, focused on bread as well. They finally say to him, when Jesus says, all you need to do is to believe. And they said, well, if you're the Messiah, then what miracles do you do? What miracles? Hello? They've already eaten the bread. They've seen where 5,000 plus men and or women and children have been fed. Over 5,000 people from 5 loaves and 2 fish. These are people from Capernaum who already have to know that Jesus has healed the official's son, the official from there in Capernaum. And what about, hadn't word gotten to them about what Jesus had done at the wedding of Cana in turning the water into wine? And maybe even from Jerusalem, the word had come to them about the cripple that he healed at the pool of Bethesda who couldn't heal himself. What more did they need to see? What more proof did they need to know? Jesus said, I am the true bread, the life-giving, forgiving, life-sustaining bread that comes from heaven. When I was growing up, very young, my parents tell me the story, which has become part of my memory now, and I can picture it because I've heard the story so many times. And they tell me that when I was about 2, we would always go and visit my grandmother Sherman. And I grew up in that generation where grandmothers made the bread. The house always smelled of fresh homemade bread or rolls. And they said when I was about 2, on one of the visits, we went to Grandma's house, and she went to one of those old standing cupboards that had that little bread drawer in the bottom. Some may remember that. And she got some bread out and sliced that homemade bread, and we had some there at the table. Well, the next week when we went to visit, as soon as we walked in the door, I toddled right over to that bread drawer and got a piece of bread out and began to eat it. And my parents were in shock. My dad was just about ready to scold me. And my grandmother grinned at him, I guess, and winked and said, don't you feed this poor little boy. And she took the bread away from him and she said, you don't want that. Come on, you come with Grandma. We're going over to the corner grocery store and I'm going to get you some candy. Something really good. Which was great. Now, the next week when we went to Grandma's house and walked in the door. Now, hey, well, you're getting ahead of me on the story. You're right, but you're getting ahead of me on the story. I went right to that drawer again. And Dad said he swears that every time I would do that, I would try to find the driest, stalest piece of bread to pull out of there because I knew Grandma was taking me across the street to get candy. Well, that was our ritual that went on until I got a little older. But it was one that I, even at my age, couldn't have, but should have, understood the obvious. I'm not overlooking it. Because Grandma's bread and that candy from the store was not really the important thing. They were simply signs of something more, something better. They were signs of Grandma's love, not only for me, but also Grandma's love for Mom and Dad. See, that's what the people missed and what Jesus kept saying. You're missing the point. The bread that you received, the bread that you ate, the bread that I am, is not just simply something for you to see now, but it's a reminder of God's love for each and every one of us. In a few minutes, we're going to be participating in Holy Communion. It's a reminder there of the brokenness of the bread. Well, we have the loaf, but we'll break it. And it's more than just symbol of the brokenness of Jesus' body for us. But it's a reminder, too, that it's only when the loaf is finally broken that it can be shared with others and shared among the group. Reverend Bruce Thielman, who was chaplain at Grove City College for a number of years, after he left Grove City College, became the pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh. And he tells the story that sometime after that he was there as the pastor, one of the congregants came up to him, one of the church members, and said, you know, Pastor, I hear every minister talk about do unto others, do unto others. But he says, you know, what it really boils down to is basin theology. And Dr. Thielman said, I was really curious, and I said, well, what do you mean by basin theology? He said, it's very simple. He said, remember the night in which Jesus was taken before Pilate, and Pilate had the opportunity to acquit him? He said, what he did is he took a basin and washed his hands of the whole thing. But he said that same night, Jesus, when he had been meeting prior to that with his disciples, took a basin of water and washed the feet of his disciples and said, do this also to one another. You see, Pilate had taken the path of self-interest and self-satisfaction. Jesus took the path of self-giving and servanthood. In the midst of this service, it's obvious. There are words that remind us of just what communion was about. Not simply that Christ died for us, not simply that God loved us, but that God calls us also to take up the basin of servanthood and to go out and to share it because God promises to go with us by His Spirit. In those words we will be sharing as a part of that communion, we need to remember that it says, make that bread and that cup become for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood, that we might take that path of servanthood, receiving strength, food for the journey, if you will, to go out and to be God's people in God's world, with God going with us in the presence of His Spirit. Let us share together now in this time of communion. I remind you, and to those who might be guests here this morning, that within the United Methodist Church, we have an open communion. That means that whether you're a member of this congregation or of another congregation, or if you're just seeking to understand and to grow in a relationship, a new relationship with Jesus Christ, we invite you to come and to receive communion and these elements with us, because it is not we who provide them, but it is God who provides the table and Christ who invites all to come to the Lord's table. Let us share together. I invite you, if you will, please take your hymnals and turn to page 12, and we'll share together in the communion service there. Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him and who earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Let us pray. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved You with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done Your will. We have broken Your law. We have rebelled against Your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Be through with us. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is a right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to You, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with Your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise Your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of Your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are You and blessed is Your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of His suffering, death, and resurrection, You gave birth to Your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave Himself up for us, He took bread,
And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then after supper, he took the cup. And when he had blessed it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and upon these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. For we ask it through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Amen. In a few minutes, a moment, you will have ushers that will assist you coming forward and sharing together at the Lord's table. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ shed for you. Give the bread to hymnals, if you will, please, to hymn number 593 as we stand and sing together, "Here I Am, Lord."
Thank you.
gathered together to share at the Lord's table. But now we are called to scatter into the world to share that true bread of heaven for others and with others as well. You have had the opportunity to taste the goodness of the living Christ by being here and experiencing his presence in our midst. Take it and share it. Make it the basin of servanthood. Be self-giving to others as you go from this place today. And go in peace. And may the peace of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit go with you and remain with you always. Amen and amen.